making good. I'm Renee Blanchard, founder and operator of Church Alley Cafe and Grocery, located here in New Orleans, Louisiana. Church Alley is a people-first, mission-driven small business that I opened in 2013. And the best part about owning a cafe is the people. So in this podcast, I interview the makers, the farmers, and the many interesting people I've met through the shops, the folks doing the good work here in Louisiana and all along the Gulf Coast. Let's get started.
Hi, my name is Emily Meyer. I'm a maker and photographer, but you probably know me as a barista from Church Alley.
Hey, Emily. I'm so happy you're doing this podcast episode with me.
I'm excited.
I know. It's funny to see you on Zoom instead of at the counter.
I know. I like am having a hard time looking because I'm like, it's weird
right space.
And not in real life.
Yeah. So we're coming up. You actually left we're recording in June now, so it's almost been 2 years since mm-hmm. you moved to Texas.
Yeah.
But you're from Lafayette, like me, so we're both from here. But how's Texas?
I'm in Austin. It's getting better. So moving is just really hard. So I had a really hard time with the move at first. But me and Andy bought a house in March. So we actually have some good roots in Austin now, and that has helped a lot. So it's feeling more like home. And it's getting better.
Yeah. It takes a while for a new space, new culture too. It's so different from Lafayette or New Orleans.
Absolutely. People are surprised too, because there's so many transplants from Louisiana, a lot that have been here years and years that got transplanted during Katrina or that moved here for college and then they end up staying. And so people are surprised that it's such a different culture because it's so close and there's lots of people from Louisiana. But I mean, Texas is totally different than anywhere else. New Orleans is different than anywhere else. So moving from New Orleans to here was a really big adjustment.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. Like when you think of the South though, you think, oh, it's all the South and that's the way it is. And it's just so diverse, even across Louisiana, even from Lake Charles to Slidell. Those are like just huge, huge differences. And then Texas, I feel like, is so giant and diverse all within itself as well.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, I definitely felt that way about Louisiana growing up in Lafayette and just being so surrounded by Cajun culture and then moving to New Orleans in my 20s. And I thought it would be more similar.
Yeah.
And was just so delighted and surprised by how different it was. I mean, you know, it's different. Like I went to New Orleans all the time growing up, but then actually living there, even saying Cajun words just in my regular everyday and people not knowing what I was thinking about.
And we've talked about this before, and people thinking that Cajun is in New Orleans. And, I'm all like, because we just had, we're at the very end of crawfish season. And I was like, I don't know about this crawfish. I don't know about this crawfish. Or I'll try it, but I don't know. And people either think I'm not from here mm-hmm. not from Louisiana because they don't get that I eat crawfish so differently than people do here, or like they're from somewhere else and they just had no clue that how different things really are.
The funniest to me is eating gumbo. No one eats potato salad with their gumbo in New Orleans.
Yeah.
I think it's so weird, but that's so normal in Lafayette. I mean, that's like you like have it served that way and it's always chicken and sausage. Never anything else. Yeah, it's just little differences. It doesn't seem like a big deal, but I mean, when you think it would be more similar and you move somewhere, it can still be a shock.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. So we're talking today, we're doing this episode a little bit different. One, because we know each other so well, like I still wanted to interview about something that you're doing. And also you have done so many different things in the last few years that I've gotten to know you. That's like 6 years now. Mm-hmm. So you had written an article several years ago for my website, Bossy Like Me, about your business that you had started while you were at the shop. And it's still the stuff that you're doing. Maybe the business doesn't exist in the way that it did at that time, but now it you're still doing so many similar types of things of just, you're always building in your house or like redecorating or building things for your house or for your life that you want to try and experiment. And I really always love like how you're just want to learn something. You just are like, well, I've never built these bookcases before on my own, so let me see what it's like, or let me try these paint colors and see what happens. And so I think this was a couple years ago, you started doing this 30 day of new things challenge.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what I want to talk about today, is how you turned like this curiosity that you have into very specific ways to learn brand new things. And some of those things you just continue in new ways or build your skills up to maybe create things better and better, or to come up with brand new ideas. And so can you talk a little bit about what the 30 day of new things challenge is, and like, how did you come up with that or hear about it, or how did you get started on that?
Yeah. So it's actually been a year. So I did the challenge for the first time last May. Okay. So the way that it started was I like a 30 day challenge. I think it's like a good amount of time. It's really like, it's very easy to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And I am very, I don't want to say goal oriented, because sometimes I am and sometimes I'm not, but a short goal like that is very manageable and it works well for me. And so I had just done a decluttering 30 day challenge and I really liked it and it was super helpful. And I did it in April and I was like, well, in May, I want to do another 30-day challenge. Like, what should I do? And I was really, really anxious still from the move to Texas. And I think I was really frustrated because we were coming up on a year of living there. And I was frustrated that I was so anxious and that I wasn't happy. And it felt like we made this big change and we had both gotten new jobs and we were meeting people, but I just didn't feel acclimated, and I felt anxious going to a new coffee shop and everything was driving me crazy. And so I was like, what if I do a new thing every day? Like basically as if this would be exposure therapy. Like I'm getting right. So anxious that if I just focus on a manageable task of like, I'll go these new places I had been telling myself I would go in Austin. And so I didn't realize how much of a mindset shift it would be when I started out to do that. But by the end of it, I mean, it really was exposure therapy. I mean, it completely changed the way I felt about the city I lived in. It completely changed the way I felt about myself. And that was kind of the goal. I had always been doing new things creatively, but when it came to going new places or maybe doing new things like a new workout or, I don't know, just going somewhere by myself, like I didn't always do those things. And this is one of the big things that popped up during the challenge that I realized was I would save things for later. Mm. Be like, oh, I'm not going to go to this new coffee shop. I want to go with Andy, or I want to go when it's the right time or the right day or the right thing. And it like stopped me from living life and doing so many things. And so the challenge was kind of born out of this frustration and anxiety. And I just felt like, oh, this will be a fun thing to do. And then it ended up being very life-changing.
That's so interesting, because everything was already so challenging for you at that time. It was everything was brand new, and not even just like a new city, but you have to drive in Austin. Like we don't have to drive here in New Orleans. We can, but it's not really, you can get around the city pretty easily in other ways. And so that just seemed like such a big difference. And then just to like throw yourself, be like, okay, well, I'm here. I'm going to do everything new.
And yeah, it was an interesting thing, because exactly like that. I mean, everything was new. So it feels like it would do the opposite. Like you don't want to then put yourself in more new situations, but I found myself retreating. So it was almost like I had to either jump through or I would retreat and just get more anxious and more upset and only focus on, oh God, this grocery store is new. I like driving here is so scary. And driving is it's one of my biggest complaints in Austin. It drives me crazy that there's not, and I'm very fortunate the neighborhood we're in now is very walkable, but for the most part, a lot of Austin is not walkable and you do have to drive. And I mean, unless you live downtown, but that's very expensive. It's not like a realistic thing for most people.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a big challenge, but it, by the end of it, I mean, I was like, oh, it's no big deal. I'll go, I'll do all these things. Like it felt so much more manageable, but I'm not even kidding. The first day I was like, okay, I'll just watch a new movie because like, this is also an anxious person thing is I rewatched the same show because it's familiar. Like I'll can't tell you the amount of times I've rewatched Gilmore Girls. It's an embarrassing number and I will never calculate it. But I was like, just pick a new movie. And I spent 30 minutes being like, oh, what if it's, what if I don't like it? What if I start it? Like it, I was getting to be this like anxious ball that I didn't recognize anymore. And so those little tasks that seem like, yeah, they're so simple, just pick a new movie to watch. It felt daunting to me at the time.
Mm-hmm. I also think it's interesting how you were saying you were putting, trying new things off, which was excuse, a way for you to not do something new, right? To try something new. But it's interesting. And so during the beginning of the pandemic, I kind of had a little bit of a change like that as well, where I started wearing really nice, my really nice perfumes and lipsticks. I mean, I wore really nice perfumes and I still do that now to bed, you know, and I wear the jewelry that I love the most or hats that I love that I have gotten that are a little expensive because I'm not saving things for later. Like that is, that has been one of my big pandemic like mindset switches is that I don't say I'm not saving things for a special occasion. I'm going to like wear all of those things or do the things that I love right now. So that's interesting. That was part of it.
It's a big tendency most people have. I mean, it's like, I mean, this isn't a big of a thing anymore, but just like the classic, like you have your nice china that you only bring out for guests and for company. It's like, why do you even own these things if you're not going to use them and enjoy them? And it's really easy to get in that mindset though, like more surprising than you realize, because you may think, no, I take advantage and I do the things that I want to and I live my life and I'm in control. But I mean, it can creep up on you. I do it all the time with restaurants. I'm like, oh no, I want to go to that restaurant with Andy. It's like, you can go to it twice. Like, I don't know why I have this tendency to want to save the first experience as if it's going to be more meaningful.
Yeah.
Like, I also get to enjoy those things as a person just by myself. It's like a form of self-love too, because I was always saving these moments and activities for another person and not just being able to enjoy them in my own company.
Yeah. So
it led to so many deep questions, because then it was like, why do I do this? Why do I save these things? Am I not willing to let myself enjoy this? Mm-hmm. Just because I'm like not, I don't know, I'm not showing myself affection.
Right.
And I don't know. I mean, that leads back to how we've talked about how I am like this always, I think, where I will ask myself deeper questions and I am curious. And so I think having that mindset going into that challenge was really beneficial, because it did lead to these really big mindset shifts and these really big aha moments. Which I'm happy. Like, I'm happy I was like that. But I think it was just really big for me.
Yeah. So how did you like organize the month, the challenge? Like, did you have a calendar or did you have like a list of things that you just picked every day? Or like how, after you had decided to do that, how did you kind of decide every day what to do?
I had a list and I have, so I started yesterday another round. So I'm going to be doing 30 days straight. So in general, this is like a way that I want to live my life, because I think it's a good mindset for me. And I am a very anxious person. So this feels like something in my toolbox to get me out of those anxiety ruts. Mm-hmm. So for this month, I'm doing the same thing where I have a list of low cost items and higher cost items and low time and high time. So you want to have a mix, because I mean, like I was saying, there's some days where I just picked a new movie, and that was a day where I was working a long day, or I don't know, I had to cook, I had to run errands or clean. Like, you can't, not every day can be these like huge hikes and exploration. Yeah. I mean, it would be amazing, but that's not realistic.
Right.
So a lot of it was mostly, so some days I was even like, it's the intention that matters, because one day I was really busy, and literally one of the new things was I just laid in the grass and watched the clouds. And I was like, this is such an intentional moment. I can't remember the last time I've done this. It's probably been years since I just like sat and meditated outside and watched that. Like, that felt like a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not like I've never sat in the grass and watched the clouds pass before, but for that moment, it felt intentional, and it felt like this counts. So I was very lenient with myself, because I didn't want it to turn into a thing that was stressful. It was supposed to be something that was opening me up to new experiences and allowing me to do these things that I had been putting off or saving for later. And some days I would do a lot of things. There was one day towards the end of the month that I pierced my nose.
Yeah.
I went. I don't want to do that forever. I just like never did it. And one day I was like, I'm doing it. And so I met up with some girls from work, and we went to a bar, and we went to a new bar and got drinks. They taught me how to play pool. We walked over and I got my nose pierced. Like, and they all knew I was doing the challenge, so they like took videos of me. It was sweet, and everyone was being really supportive. So but I mean, that was a great day. That compared to that, that's a really big day to just going to a new coffee shop and getting coffee one morning.
Yeah. Yeah. What was one of your, to continue on that question. So you just every single morning you picked from a list? You just picked something from a list? Like, the next 3 days I'm going to do 1, 2, 3, 4 things.
Yeah, I had a running list on my phone, and so I would just kind of go through it. Some days I kind of knew, like I'd be like, oh, I have off on Thursday, so I know I can do a big thing. Mm-hmm. So then it would be like, oh, I have the time to go on a hike or do something. So I would just look at it each morning, and sometimes something new would pop up. I mean, yesterday I thought I was going to do something totally different, okay. And then it just the day morphs, and you kind of don't know.
Okay.
It's all about, it sounds so hippie to say, it's all about the energy you're in, but it is. I mean, it's like the intention. Yeah, so if you're in that mindset of being ready to try something new, that's what's ticking the box for me. That's what's like helping me get out of that tendency to really be closed off and really anxious and try to basically control stuff. If I'm doing something new and I'm kind of a beginner, it puts me in a totally different state of mind, and it makes me feel more present.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely am someone who you already know this about me, is that I have so many things I want to accomplish in this life, right? Like, and so I was like, I have a long list of things and I got to do it. And so I do schedule, and I also do really well with routine. And so I schedule a lot of my week, you know, or month, and I do have a lot going on. So I will dig into a schedule more, you know, all the time. And then I'm like, oh, I'm so bored. I'm just doing the things I've told myself I have to do every single day. You know what I mean? So it's like this little balance.
It's a fine line between allowing it to still be something that feels fun and spontaneous versus something that you're just checking off of a list.
Or feeling resentful for, you know, because you're like, oh, well, I have to do this thing today. I already said it.
Yeah.
Even though it is kind of an obligation, because I think one thing as I get older, I've learned a lot about myself and others and how we relate to one another, is you can start to feel obligations that don't really exist, or expectations for yourself that aren't actually that true, but then you have this sense of resentment about them, you know, and we kind of have to balance that a little bit better, you know what I mean? Like, or be more aware of what we're doing or not doing, or having integrity for ourselves, right? Like, we also have to like do the things we say we're going to do for ourselves. And that's the same as keeping your word towards someone else, you know, yeah. like the sense of integrity for yourself, but also not having, not being resentful for obligations that maybe don't fit you.
Yeah. I will say for the list, it was a guidepost. So I used it as a source if I needed help and I would look at it every day. But I also think part of the magic of this is that it helps you look for opportunities. Mm-hmm. So even I would go to the grocery store and it would be like, oh, I've like never looked down this aisle at like these snacks or this candy. And so then it like gave me a reason to be like curious of like, I'll buy this. Like I'll like see what this is like and try it. And some things were good and some things were
My next question is, what's been one of the most fun experiences that you had, where you were saying you're getting your nose pierced that day was a lot of fun?
I think that one was probably the most fun because it was really sweet to see these girls that I had like not known that long like be so supportive and excited and like, and that was just really nice. Like that felt like, oh, this is the whole point of me kind of doing this, was that I felt isolated and anxious. And so having that day where it was like, I'm doing it. I'm doing the things I had been wanting to do for a long time. I'm around people. I'm having a good time. Like we're going new places. Like that felt really good.
Mm-hmm. What was the least fun? What was like a terrible idea that you had that you did?
Oh God. I have to like look at my original list to see if any of them were like total duds. I feel like some of the food stuff was just disappointing. I think that would be the only thing, because anything else was like, oh, it kind of ended up being fine. Any new place I went, I just like left early if it wasn't good.
Right, right. But trying food, different foods, trying a restaurant did not work
out. Yeah. Oh my God. Well, some of the grocery store foods, it's like if you're getting an Audible item, chances are it's stale or expired sometimes. Right. So gotta check that label, which I learned the hard way. But it was still fun. It still was like, oh, like I never do this.
Mm-hmm.
Now I do.
Yeah. That's cool. How did you stay on track? Like were there any days where you just were like, I don't want to do a new thing. I don't want to do this.
Oh, absolutely. There was a lot of days where I was like, this is stupid. This like isn't doing anything. Like I would really get in my head. And then it would also be the thing where I was like, why am I so in my head about this? Like if it's just a silly fun thing, like who cares? I'll just do it anyway, like it doesn't matter. But it was like I was having this like internal fight back of like, this is like dumb, this is silly. And like, of course it wasn't. Even the small things ended up making a big difference and adding up and making me feel
mm-hmm.
again like in a different mindset and just way less anxious. And I think I've gotten so accustomed to being an anxious person every day
mm-hmm.
that I didn't realize how much it had like hindered my everyday
mm-hmm. yeah.
until I was doing this. But there is, I mean, that's like part of it too. I was having that internal fight back of like, this is silly. This is so dumb. Like, why are you even doing this? Like, so that would stop me sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, not stop me, but it would have a moment of like, why? What's the point? And then, yeah, it would be a moment to like dig deeper and be like, why?
That's so interesting. I mean, that is such a big thing of making any kind of change in your life, is also questioning your reactions, right? Like you have a reaction and then you're like, wait, what is this reaction? Like, why am I pushing against something, or why did I just get really upset over this one comment, or what, you know, why, like, what is the next thing? I think about it like in meditation, I call it like the Russian doll, like impact, right? Like I'm sitting there and I'm like doing my breath. And then this other little voice is like, why are you doing this? I was like, wait, who are you? And then I look back and I'm like, what is that voice? And I was like, what is that voice looking at that voice looking at that voice? And I just like, if my brain is really noisy, I just keep questioning who is that other voice that's commenting on it, you know? And I think that we can't, I mean, what this was just challenges doing is like trying to refine your mindset, right? And to maybe make some changes in your life that maybe you had been thinking about or had been sitting subconsciously in your brain for a really long time. And you have, and you confronted all of those voices that were making you not make those changes over, you know, in years past or the time before you did that.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, you know, like I have been there as well. And we all know that that is really hard. A lot of people don't make changes that they really desperately want to make for their life, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think in general, we have made a lot of choices that are unconventional for our life, me and Andy. And it's good. We're really happy, but it's hard. You don't, that like voice too. I mean, it's just like with the anxiety, it's like questioning, you know, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? I think people don't always realize, yeah, just that doesn't go away. That like little voice coming back.
That's true. And I, you know, and I've said this to you before, you're in your late 20s, and I've said this to everyone who are in their 20s. Your 20s are the hardest years. It's way harder than high school or even college if you're in that setting, or in your 30s or 40s. You know, your late 20s are from like 25 to 30, I think, or 31, 32 are some of the hardest years you ever have, because there's a lot of expectations and you don't have the experience yet. You don't have the life experience yet to show that things work out or something always shows up to move you forward, you know? And I know that y'all have, especially coming from Lafayette or coming from a small town, we have a lot of obligation or sense of obligations that we kind of have to work through of whether those are our own expectations for our own life or not.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's so much unlearning and relearning and choosing what kind of lifestyle you want to have at this like point in time, like your late 20s. Mm-hmm. And even like we were talking about earlier, like the like moving is so hard. Like it's one of those things where it's so, people do it all the time, so you sometimes discredit how much of a like emotional weight it is, mm-hmm, to go through that change. So yeah, I think focusing on those small things, those small everyday challenges has been helpful for that, because it's these big life changes, these big moves can just really wear at you after a while.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point. And just that we have everyday things that we can enjoy, you know, like, I know it's silly, this is a little cliche, but also in New Orleans, like you think like, oh, we have these little tiny magical moments that happen all the time. You know, like in May, I am so excited to take long walks because you get jasmine, right? You get this smell of jasmine walking through, or you get to see these blooming yards of these beautiful flowers that you only see for a short amount of time. And, or like in the summer, you know, which are, is terrible, but then you get these like really beautiful evening or afternoon rains, you know, that the sky looks so incredible at sunset or something like that. And we take advantage of some of those really small moments that really do have an impact on us.
Yeah. I mean, even living in New Orleans, I feel like there were some things I didn't take advantage of because I did that thing where I was saving it for later. So yeah, there's still places I didn't eat. There's still things I didn't explore and I didn't do. And I was there for 7 years. So it can creep up on you where you just get in your everyday routine and you get really, just acclimated to your everyday life that you forget to take advantage of those interesting things, because you don't know how long you'll be in that place or that job or have those people in your life or any of those things. Like, it, you just got to like take advantage and make sure you're appreciating that and doing all the things you can.
Yeah. Okay. So I have a challenge that I want to do, and I wanted to ask you about how to do it. And okay. surprise, it's about me doing videos on Instagram, which is something I have talked to you about for like 5 years. I'm constantly I'm going to do videos. I need to do more videos. And then I never do anything about it. So that's my thing. So Justin Shields, he just did now he's in Austin, but he's been in New Orleans for a really long time, creator.
Yeah.
He just did a video workshop, which I wasn't able to take, but I'm going to view it today, of how to start small form video regularly. But what would be your advice on how me to set up a 30-day challenge to do these videos, which I probably already asked you this years ago. I forgot what you said, so I'm gonna ask again.
Well, okay, for video, it's really like jarring to hear your own voice. You're probably better at it because you do the podcast. So
I'm used to being very uncomfortable hearing my voice. Yeah, listening to all these episodes.
But also seeing your face is really hard. So I feel like for you the rep. Like for a video, just in general, like repetition is really good because it takes a while to get used to it. Yeah. I don't know. I would I would do like 30 days of different prompts and then have the same format of video every day. So I would just come up with 30 different topics or even just different formats you want to try out, whether some are voiceover, like you could mix it up every day, but having some consistencies of like, okay, I'm going to do a minute long video
right
every day, but at least every day I can maybe play around with the format, I could play around with doing voiceover, talking directly to camera or what the background looks like or what your subject is. Because the repetition will make it more comfortable. But if you're focusing on the subject or just like maybe your filming style, that you'll be able to figure out what you like and what you don't like and what feels like your style.
Yeah. Sometimes having like restrictions gets you out of a rut, which seems counterintuitive, but sometimes having more restrictions of what you're going to do gives you more creativity. You find more creativity in finding solutions.
Yeah. So if you have whatever parameters to give yourself some restrictions, like whether it is the time or whatever that is, that's manageable. And then being able to play around with the other elements.
Yeah.
Because with short form video, I mean, some people are talking straight to camera and it's them, but some people it's voiceovers, and that might be what you're more comfortable with, or that might feel more your style and your format. And you only kind of get to know that by like playing around with it.
Yeah. Yeah. What are some of the challenges that you're going to do, new things you're going to do this time in your challenge?
So I'm going to try a new hairstyle.
Oh, okay. That's always pretty big.
That's always a big one. Actually, last year, that was a really fun one that I did. Cause I'm not very emotionally attached to my hair. So that's always a fun one to play around with. Mm-hmm. And I had a friend, I told her she could do whatever she wanted and I was going to not look at it. So she bought hair dye and I didn't look in the mirror and she dyed my hair. And then we did a reveal.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, she dyed my hair hot pink. And I didn't know until the end. So that was really fun. I put a lot of trust into her. She wouldn't make me look crazy. She did a great job. It was really good. Yeah. So that's a big one. I'm also going to try to, because it's summer, I'm going to try to make some like day trips to see some of the swimming holes around Texas, because I know there's a lot outside of Austin. And this is my second summer here. Last year, I made the mistake of not realizing that some of the water dries up here. I didn't know that was a thing. Or like the water can get stagnant. And so they'll close some of the swimming holes at some point in the season. So I had waited too long. I had waited till like July and August last year, and you swim in some of the places.
Oh, wow.
It's been really rainy, so I think I'll be in the clear, but that's what I'm going to try to do. I did the same thing last year. I was like, I'll go at the end of the summer. I'll go. So I'm going to try to do that, which that is a bigger time commitment, because it's some of them are a longer drive. But so yeah, those are a couple that a lot of them are just kind of everyday things. But those are two of the big ones.
Yeah. Do you have any, challenges? I feel like you have this 30-day challenge, but you also do things all the time like this. It's not just,
I do.
So you're like, I've never used this tool before. Let me see if I can.
So in the creative world, I'm always trying something new. Like that is consistent. So for this 30-day challenge, I try not to have creative things on my list.
Oh, interesting.
Because that's my comfort zone. I mean, I am very happy always working with a new material. So I always tell people I'm a maker, because it's like too difficult to even describe what I'm making. It's like I'm always working on something new. I really am. Sometimes I'm quilting. Sometimes I'm making headpieces. Sometimes I'm building furniture in my house. And so that is, I'm very comfortable in that realm. But yeah, for the new challenge, 30-day challenge, it's usually not a creative thing.
Huh, that's interesting.
It wouldn't be a challenge at that point. Because I'm always doing it.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. I didn't think about it. Those are all the questions that I have, but I wanted to ask you, what is one of your favorite things to do in Austin now that you've been there for a couple
of years? Definitely swim. I think that is the best part of the city, is that there's so many natural like springs around Texas, which I didn't realize. I knew it was a thing, but I didn't realize like how many there were before we moved here. And in Louisiana, I mean, water is not, there's a lot of water, but it's not swimmable water. It's not water you would want to get in. So,
I remember the first time that we moved to Florida and I saw like an ocean beach. I was like, this is a beach.
This is what water can be.
It's not Sipama Point where it's so
yeah. Oh my God.
I had no clue.
Describing to people here, because it's really funny. And that's another part of the culture being so different. They are they're confused that I'm like, no, there's not swimmable water. Like, don't want to get in the lakes in Louisiana.
Filled with animals that want to eat you. It's like
it's so scary. Or even just, I mean, the Gulf and our section in Louisiana and Mississippi is so gross. You do not want to get in that water. It's so, to me here, the water is the best part of the city. Like being able to have relief in the summer, I'm literally retraining my brain that summer is good, because so you don't leave your house in Louisiana in the summer. It's so hot. I mean, there's no outdoor activities either. I mean, you can't go swim, you can't really do any of those things. And in Austin you can. So that's been really lovely.
Cool. Okay. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much. That was really interesting. I wanted to dig deeper into what this challenge looks like.
Yeah. I will say, if anyone is curious, I would say do 7 days, do a week,
right?
And just see how it feels. It's 30 days is a big commitment sometimes. I really like it. And if you are super anxious, definitely try it for 7 days at least and give it a try, because it can feel silly. Even the thing like, getting a new snack at the grocery store is so silly. That's not going to do anything, but it does. Just trust me.
You know, that's such a good point. It's also the little things. I would say here, one, you know, I've been back in Louisiana a little over 13 years. And I've been thinking lately, it's like, I've already done everything that we do here, you know, like what it's, this is also a small town. Like this isn't a big city by any means, you know? So there really is limited things to do, but I wanted to be like, well, I'm still in school. I have this shop, you know, like I'm going to stay here. I have my house. I'm going to stay here for a while more. So how do I find interest in the things that I've seen every day for 13, 14 years, you know, and or a part of my childhood that I had seen growing up as well. So that was like, yeah. So that's one thing that I have been interested, wanted to talk to you about, like how, like your philosophy on that.
Yeah. I mean, I think I always use Pinterest as a big resource, but I will look up bucket list and then try to apply them to my area, wherever I'm at. But I also try to do things that are not region specific. So a lot on my list will be like, oh, try a new recipe or I don't know, just anything like that. That way it's somewhat generic, because I do think even if you've been in a place a long time, there's still opportunity for you to see things differently, or you can still try new things or meet new people or try a different group or try a different class. And especially now that we're moving into summer, there's so many resources. Like the public library always has summer programming. They have adult craft classes. There's a lot of places, some of the museums. I know in New Orleans, the Ogden Museum does summer programming. And so that's a great opportunity for you to get out of your shell and maybe try something new or meet new people. I know it is tough in post-COVID life because a lot of like clubs and meetups, like I was in a lot of creative women meetups in New Orleans, and I think a lot of them just haven't gotten back together post-COVID.
People are a lot of these places, they're still doing Zooms. Like it was a way to have more flexibility, but then you're not really spending time with other people or meeting new people in a good way.
Yeah. That was one of the tough things in Austin. Cause when we moved here, I was like, oh, there's nothing here. And then I had this realization where I was like, oh, it was because of COVID. Like there was lots of meetups, but they just weren't meeting in person. And a lot of people either moved or they just didn't get it organized. And so it's going to take a while for a lot of those organizations to pop back up. Those are always really fun. I met lovely people that I would have never met otherwise.
Yeah, I'm writing a new workbook for the new business that I'm launching, for nutrition and healthy meals, healthy habits, as part of my education. And then there's Jamie Anberg, she does 1,000 words of summer. It's for writers, and you write 1,000 words every day for 14 days. And she sends you, and there's like a Slack group, and then so you meet people from all over the world because they all join, but they're on Slack. They just like explain what they're doing and they show their pets. So everyone like posts pictures of their pets.
That.
Yeah, it's really cute. And then she sends a letter to the people who've signed up to do the challenge every day from a different writer. And each writer like talks about a different topic of what it means to be a writer or an artist or something like that. And so you're like reading these letters to you. It's really interesting. Yeah, it's really great. That's how I wrote my book too. I did that twice. And then I did many ones on my own to get through, because it was a very daunting experience to write a book.
Yeah.
Some kind of structure.
Interesting thing. So one of the things I did last year too was I had bought a ukulele years ago and I had never learned how to play it. And so I was also watching videos. That was one of my new things, was I was like teaching myself how to play. But it's so different than, I mean, it is creative, but it's a totally different type of creativity than hands-on making things and figuring out how to sew something. I mean, that is very much how I'm wired already, that I can kind of figure out sewing patterns and stuff much more easily than I could figure out how to play an instrument. Yeah. And so it is also an opportunity for you to stretch your brain in a different way. So writing would be totally out of my element because that's so not something I would do. So yeah, I would encourage people too. There's always going to be something. There's going to be something outside of your comfort zone that you could do in your house.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you so much. That was fun. That's so interesting. Well, that's all for today. Thanks so much for listening to Making Good. You can find our podcast on all the platforms you find your favorite podcasts. You can also find a transcript of this episode and all of our episodes on our website, churchalley.store. If you loved this episode, please share it and let others know about the good work of Church Alley Cafe and Grocery. Thanks again for listening to Making Good. I hope you have a really good day. We'll see you next time.